speak English, and I think according to the scriptures, We need to learn how to speak life.
Amen.
That's our bilingualness. English and life. So that's what our scripture is saying. That our tongue has power.
Right.
To bring death in life. Now, I'm going to put a disclaimer on here before I get started. Because I know this is a popular verse in some circles. I'm going to tell you this. This may, don't complete it, because even if you disagree with me, the rest of the sermon would be good too. Oh, amen. But I don't believe that the way that the word of faith movement interprets this verse, is the correct interpretation. Because they say, and maybe you're in agreement with it, that your words are able to create. Okay? What you say is able to create. I think the scripture teaches that only God can create.
All right. Yeah.
When that verse that says, speaking those things that are not as though they were, in Romans, is speaking about God.
Right.
God spoke to nothing and made something.
Right.
Sometimes we get nervous about that. Because we feel like just because we speak something, it may happen. We say, don't speak that. Sometimes you're down about something and frustrated and irritated, and you just say, this ain't never going to happen. Because you're frustrated and irritated. But I'm saying, just because you say that, doesn't mean it's going to happen.
All right, teach.
Because that's not going to nullify God's will, God's love for you.
Right.
If everything you spoke would happen, then all of you Cowboy fans who've been speaking Super Bowl since 1996, almost 25 years, you tell me every year at the beginning of the season, Super Bowl. And it ain't happened in a quarter of a century. So, I'm just saying everything we speak.
Yeah, right.
Now, but sometimes, the only thing about that is sometimes when we speak negatively like that, it doesn't create that change, but it can. When you create negative, when you speak negative, sometimes you're speaking death to yourself.
Right.
It's not that changing anything around you, not that God is doing anything, but you're talking to yourself when you say that.
Yeah.
And if you don't be careful, you'll start believing yourself.
Right.
And when you believe yourself, you begin to walk in that way.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, that's on the name, but it doesn't create it. It just don't, like, it's not like bad look, and when you say it, all of a sudden something's going to happen, but sometimes you talk yourself into it. And then you come to your own words. So let me talk about it. I think that really, I said it's because of the world we live in our nation, and the influx how the Latino population is growing is important for us to speak bilingually and Spanish if you can. But listen here, I'm saying because of our world also, especially our young people, we need to be able to speak life. Because of what's going on in our school, we need to be able to speak life.
Amen.
I mean, You need to be able to speak life to your classmates because of the amount of death that's being spoken. Death is like when you speak something that's hurtful.
Right.
Or negative. Or you speak something that's bad about a person. Or you insult a person. Or you are bullying a person. Or put a person down. A whole lot of that is going on in our classroom. That's why it's so important for us to speak life. If you are a believer in junior high, high elementary, college, it's important for you as a believer to speak life in that classroom or at that educational arena.
Amen.
Because there's plenty of bullets.
That's true.
And it's kind of hard to talk about bullies because sometimes we may even feel like the leader of our country do bully. Those that are in, you see a lot of bullying on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Whatever type of social media it is, when people are pulling each other down. A lot of times a person pull you down in order to pull themselves up. An insecure person has to take you down in order for them to look like somebody.
Right. It's true.
There's so many ways to speak death. One way is to lie.
Mm-hmm.
When you lie on somebody, you're speaking death. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, when you know it's an abomination, that means, you know, it really upsets God. God really has problems with it. And also, gossip.
Amen.
When you gossip. Especially when your gossip is talking negatively about somebody. Even if they've done something wrong,
right,
you're not sure.
Right.
Because what the problem is sometimes somebody failed in some way. We want to share it and we celebrate.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah, well, have mercy.
Don't celebrate other people's faults.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're supposed to treat other people like we want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
So if you start celebrating other people's fall, pretty soon somebody might celebrate yours.
That's real. That's real.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. When you see somebody else blow it or fall or stumble into trouble, don't celebrate and tell them, oh, yeah, yeah, you heard about it. A lot of time, boy, you get around when you don't even need a man, either. Because, boy, when somebody falls, it's going to get around.
Yeah.
You're going to hear about it before you get your paper.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Some of us, amen, we ready. Some of us are experts. And we get it on the police case. You heard them? Oh, I heard the police say, you already down.
Right.
They ain't got back to the sheriff. The sheriff officer, you already got to leave. Anybody made a mistake.
Right. Right.
You already spread it about 12 people.
Come on now.
I was one of them speed down.
Disciples.
You down with one hand and takes it with the
other. Wow. So real.
We can, it's not good to celebrate others.
Amen.
Fail.
That's real.
If I fail too much myself, I don't want to celebrate nobody else's failure. I don't even want to hear about it too much.
Yeah.
Tell me something positive. Tell me something somebody's doing that's great.
Right.
Amen. Tell me how somebody's growing, how somebody's improving. I don't want to hear over and over again about how bad somebody is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but sometimes we use a tongue. And listen. I'm stealing the bad way. You're going to get to do it this time. When somebody shares something with you, confidentially,
Come on out.
It needs to stay.
Confidence.
Especially if it's among believers.
That's real.
Yes. Amen. If a believer trusts you enough.
Come on now.
To share their struggle. Yes. Because they need somebody to come alongside them.
Yeah.
In their struggle.
Yeah.
Then don't friend them.
Right. Amen.
I like God. I love God because God, I like the way God operates.
Yeah.
I'm glad that God
then expose me
don't tell everything
yes.
that I do. That's wrong. Right. Y'all prepared to do that?
Y'all look at me totally.
No, God, don't do that. God, don't do it. Amen.
That's real.
When God is so loving, He wants to restore us,
thank you, Lord God.
Not ruin us.
Thank you, Lord God.
That's why He says, if you got something against your brother, first, you go to Him. Because if you can help him out, help him get back on the right track, get it fixed, then don't nobody else have to know about it. If you can't get it fixed, then you go get somebody else that's mature.
Right.
And two of y'all go. And your brother, come on. This is not right. You know, come and get this thing straightened out. God, I know. I see so much God want to do with you. And then you try to encourage that brother to come back, my sister. And then said, if you don't get the two, then go get three.
Yeah.
God says, I want to restore that person with a minimal amount of ruin. Because I still want to be able to use it.
Right.
Now, if they just won't listen, if they just want to stay with their unrepentant sin,
right.
Then he says, you can bring it to the church.
Okay. Amen.
Because the church has to do a separation process. Because God is always about restoration. Mm-hmm. So the separation is not because God want to get rid of the person.
Right.
But God want to bring the person to their senses.
It's true. Hold on.
That's the way God works. And I'm going to just throw this in for free, even though I'm not on this subject today. But I'm going to throw this in for free because some of y'all ain't going to believe me anyway, but it's free, so. It didn't cost you nothing.
Right.
Sometimes in marriages, when you tried everything, then it becomes, sometimes you get to a point where there has to be a separation, whether that's called a separation or a divorce. But, I'm going to lose most of you. That's only for restoration. Pastor, I ain't going to go with that. But once I'm gone, once I'm gone for good. But no, that's why God said. But I'm just going to share. God says, then if you marry another person, you commit adultery. Because unless the other person is already married, if the other person is already married, then there's no way there can ever be restoration. Then you're free. I'm making it hard. But now, if you can't get get back together, you got to stay. I'm just trying to tell y'all God's plan. Y'all may not want to go by God's plan. I told y'all I gave it to you for free. But he said, hey, so then if you don't go back to the person you were with, you got to stay. Or you commit adultery. Unless there are two outs. Adultery. And abandonment. That's when the person, you're a believer. Yeah. And the other person is an unbeliever. And they just say, hey, I got to go. God says, they say they got to go, let them go.
Yeah.
Let them go. Amen. And then you're free. But if it ain't adultery or abandonment, then you got to stay single or be given adultery. That was kind of hard for freeing on Children's Day, but I had to kind of share that. I got to share the word of God. Because he wants to restore that relationship, because a marital relationship is a reflection of what Christ is to the church.
Right, right.
And Christ never divorces us.
Amen.
He restores. That's a hard saying, but it's about it. All right, here we go. It's coming back. So all of the negative, all of the negative ways of using our tongue, when somebody shares something with us, it's going to be confidential, and we're going to spread it. Because what happens, next time they need help, they ain't want to share.
Right.
Because they know what happened last time. They shared it, and you got all over the neighborhood.
Amen.
And somebody came and said, I heard. Don't even share it in a prayer request.
That's real.
Because we know we're good at sharing a prayer request. Or a testimony. Don't share it in a prayer request. Don't share it in a testimony. Don't get up. Amen. You know, like you do at the Holy Church. Like you hold it, you get up. You know, you get the testimony. You know, we don't testify. You have testimony here, but we may reincorporate. But you get testified. You know, they say, how you know, praise God, and hallelujah, you know, and get back to the testimony. Say, I'm really glad because God gave me strength. My husband didn't come home last night. And it's all night. Wait a minute. You don't have to tell that testimony. That's it what God has done for you.
Right.
It was a rough night. This is a rough night. Don't get worried. But the Lord brought me through. The enemy was trying to take me out. Don't give a lot of detail when a lot of detail ain't necessary.
Because
all the detail is holding up. Somebody else didn't want to testify.
Sneaking.
And then what you said, then you're upset because you can't get him to come to church. Well, you don't go home. Stop at church. He didn't want to go to all those folks that don't even have to be happy. It's shame to come. If you want to tell all this, then you might show up. I'm trying to help you.
That's real.
All right. Let me get back to the main word. All right. All right, three things, quickly. Three things we can get out of here. First, put them on my glasses so I can read this. When you speak loud, there's a verse that says, you speak life when you use what I call golden words. Golden words. But there's a verse in the scripture that says that a word fitly spoken is like golden in trays of silk. Golden apples is really talking about oranges. And there's another name for orange. It's called golden. And it's a tray of silk. So you got the magnet in it. And it's talking about the beauty of a golden apple penetrate. So when a word is fitly, when a word fits, when a word is fitly spoken, I call them golden words. A golden word is when you're saying something to somebody, you're saying the right thing at the right time in the right tone.
Right, come on now.
Right tone,
yeah.
Y'all got that?
Yeah.
You saying the right what? Wait a minute. You're right, but we got to get this thing working. I can give you a way to remember because I'm using all these keys. The right thing
at the right time.
Right tone. Thing, time,
and tone.
That's all. A golden word is when you say the right thing at the right time in the right tone. Have you ever got a golden word? And I'm glad sometimes God will send somebody with a golden word. I remember one time, I'm not saying too much about it, I remember one time I was, I was having a rough week. Kind of down every week. Because, sometimes being a pastor, and probably not me, some of y'all other stuff y'all do too, because I'm not just for me, but I was a little upset. Because it had been like an anti-appreciation week.
Okay.
You know, like you have a pastor appreciation? Sometimes pastors have an anti-appreciation. And when you have an anti-appreciation week, you feel unappreciated. You feel like all, and it's not only for my profession, but a lot of you have mothers have it, spouses have it. It's when you've made significant sacrifices and it seems like nobody appreciates it. So you say, what's the use? And sometimes you may put a word in there that's not a good word. Because you've given so much. And you made so many sacrifices, whether it's time, family, money, and then somebody shows a lack of appreciation in a really bad way, and it just messes you up. I was going through one of them kind of weeks. They don't have them all. But every once in a while, I was going through one of those weeks. And I was going through one of those weeks, and I had a funeral. I think either Friday or Saturday that week. And I was out at the funeral. And a young man that I know, he was at the funeral, who used to be in my home church, and I had mentored, had discipled, had kind of, spent a lot of time together trying to help him grow to be the man that God wanted him to be. And he was there, and because we're burying his auntie, and he's giving you to now. There was in Dallas, and he said that they out at the grave. I wasn't even going to the graveyard because it wasn't my responsibility that day to let the people funeral to go to the graveyard because I wasn't officiating. But because the officiating pastor didn't go, I had to go. So when I was there, he said something. He thanked me for all the things that I had done.
Awesome.
When he was young, a teenager. And I was mentoring him and discipling him and saying what he could be and he's successful. And he said, hey man, I so appreciate it. You just don't know what that meant to me. So on the time that I was feeling unappreciated,
right.
I was just feeling like, hey,
amen.
What's the use? Come down, you're getting pointed, what's the use?
Yeah.
Don't nobody care anyway, they ain't changing nothing.
Yeah.
And then God said, wait a minute, now I'm gonna send somebody.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, what you do, yes. Your sacrifice,
it does matter. Yes.
Does matter. It does make a difference. So in that particular case, it was the right thing and the right time in the right tone. Golden words.
Yeah.
Golden words are valuable words.
Amen.
Another story quickly. Les Brown, I don't know if you know Les Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Les Brown is a motivational speaker.
Yes, sir.
Les Brown has made I think he's written about 4 books at least, and made over his motivational speaking career $60 million.
Right.
But when Les Brown was in school,
come on now. Yeah.
His teachers.
Right.
Misdiagnosed him.
Right. Right.
And they put him in special ed, said he was educationally mentally retarded.
Right.
Yeah, him, man. And he grew up, he kind of grew up in school in that system. Thing was, he couldn't read. He couldn't read that, but he can read the words, but when he read the words, he didn't get the words.
Right, right.
But now, if you would tell him something, he learned from people telling him something mm-hmm. a lot more than reading something.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't really that he was not intelligent. It's that the teacher wasn't intelligent enough to know how he learned.
Right.
Well, I wish I had a
witness. Right.
Sometimes a teacher will say, you're not intelligent because they don't have the skill level to realize that every child learns differently and learn how you learn. So it's not your failure, it's their failure.
Right.
So he was in the 11th grade in Mr. Washington's class. He didn't go to Mr. Washington's class, but he had a friend that went to Mr. Washington's class, so he just went in hanging out with his friend.
Yeah.
Mr. Washington was doing something on the board. You know, he was in there quite because he loved Mr. Washington, was his inspiration. And he loved Mr. Washington. But one day, you know, he just kind of laid down, Mr. Washington, come to the board. I want you to do something on the board today. Huh? You want me to come? I'm gonna come to the board. And then said, yeah, come on, yeah, it's okay. But I don't know. But Mr. Watson, they say I'm educationally mentally retarded. I want to come to the board. And then Mr. Watson said to him, you don't have to let somebody's opinion of you become your reality.
That's real. That's real.
Word fitly spoken. That's a golden word. And from that moment on, he began to turn his life around. And then, amen, he was able to be successful throughout college and become a motivator and make $60 million at least and write 4 books. The one they said.
Yeah, that was
special.
Yeah.
But it wasn't anything wrong with him. Here's what was wrong with the teachers that put it. Because a lot of times, they'll put African American students in the wrong class because they get tired of the way you act.
Amen.
But the reason why you're acting like that is because they haven't been able to get through you with the way they teach.
Right.
Ooh, I wish I had put it. So now just get rid of you. They send you over to the other class.
Yeah. When you actually need to be in the gifted class.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to say that's the word fitness for. So, every day, young people, older, adults, you need to wait for more of the Lord. If there's somebody that needs a golden word today, show me that
book
that needs a golden word. So I can go to them and give them the golden word that they need.
Amen.
That's the way you bring the Bible. Golden words heal life. Mm-hmm. But not only golden words, but secondly, what I want to call grace words. Grace words. Grace words. There's a verse in Ephesians said, let no corrupt talk. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only as such as is good for building up.
Right.
As fits the occasion. That it may give grace to the hearer. What do you mean by giving grace to the hearer? Everything you say, it ought to give grace to the hearer. In other words, it ought to give them what they need to be the person that God created them to be.
Okay.
And when you come to somebody, every word that comes out of your mouth ought to be giving somebody what they need to become the person that God created them to be. Speaking grace to people. And grace means, wait a minute. You know what grace is? Let me tell you what grace is to me. I know most of y'all are the same thing. Grace is when you don't deserve it.
You get it anyway. Yeah.
You ain't no way you deserve it. But you just get it.
Yeah.
Get it anyway. So the person, amen, may not deserve what you're gonna say to them. They may not deserve any kind of goodness. They may not be a very nice person. Or they may have some deficiencies. They all have deficiencies. Amen. Or even they may not be a good person. But grace is, I want to give them a word that's going to help them to grow. That's going to speak life to them. That's going to lift them, give them hope and healing. It's a healing word.
Okay.
From what they're in. Everybody needs grace. Grace. Everybody needs some grace. I need some grace. Some more time. I'm going to tell you something about it. You know, more time when you're at a funeral and you have what's called a eulogy. In the 2 minutes that we want to make 3-4 minutes. 2 minutes, we said 2 minutes, you got 2 minutes to speak, 2 minutes to say something, and they want to say something. Y'all, that's good. He said, there's 2 minutes to say something, and they want to say something, or 2 minutes to say something, and then you got to unity with me to say something. Well, probably me and my brothers and sisters, seem like to me, folks speak more life at the funeral. How you going to speak life now to somebody? That person ain't dead now. You ain't spoke life to them the whole time they were living. You ain't gave them a golden word or a grace word the whole time they were living. Now that they're dead, can't hear you, don't have no effect, they already hoping in the presence of the Lord. Now you want to speak life. It's a shame. You didn't speak life to somebody that you like, but you're speaking life to somebody who's now.
Yeah.
It's the most life you speak to a person is when that person is dead. Don't waste our time. Ooh, I wish I had you ain't never encouraged them, ain't never complimented them, ain't never gave no hope. Ain't never been there, but now that they're passed on to be with the Lord, you want to get at the funeral, and you want to be all this.
My Lord.
They're dead now. The only one that can speak life to them now is God. Speak life while somebody can hear you. So speak life to your classmates.
Amen.
Sometimes your classmates or your teammates. Sometimes if you're on an athletic team and a person make a bad play or does something that didn't work out for them, they feel like, oh man, I fumbled the ball or I got an interception or ran out of bounds or missed a big shot. And everybody down on them, it's time. That is a great time to give them a golden word and speak like, oh man, we all made mistakes. We've all missed shots. Michael Jordan missed shots. LeBron missed shots. We've all dropped. Amen. We've all got an interception. Tom Brady has some interception. Everybody that has some interception. I don't care how good it is, how much a star you are, we all make mistakes. But I can see something in you. You tell them the good things that you see in me. I like when you work hard and practice it. I like when you make mistakes, you work hard to fix it. And I like the way, amen, you always listen. You don't call it disruption. So when that person is down on themselves, think about all the good points. Because that's what they need to hear. Mm-hmm. Keep trying, man. I see you make some great catches. I see you make some great shots. We really need you. You're an important part of my team. You got to give them that kind of encouragement.
Amen.
Yes. You messed up on that test. You didn't quite get that C that you're supposed to get. You're a little bit under the C. That's all right. That's all right. Because there's a whole lot of people who are very, very, don't let that C get you down.
Right.
Because
there's
a whole lot of people that's CEOs.
Yeah. Come on, come on.
That at one time or another made that to the C.
Right.
See what you made, but see is not what you are.
Right. Come on. Amen.
Being encouraged to you that work a little harder or if you need tutoring, because sometimes, amen, in some classes, all of them got different views.
Amen.
And sometimes some classes are harder for you because of the way God made you. And their paths are easy for other people.
And it's okay to
get that. Whether you're a left brain person or a right brain person.
That's real.
Are you artistic, athletic, academic? What are you? What is your learning style? Do you learn from reading? Do you learn? Are you auditory? Are you kinetic?
No. Come on. That's real.
How do you learn? Well, so there's a lot of different reasons why. But don't give up on yourself because you're still valuable to God.
Amen.
You're still a God's masterpiece. You just got to find out where you fit in the puzzle.
Right.
Because God's got a plan for your life. You have to encourage others. Don't believe that. I'm like this watcher. Don't believe other people's opinion of you.
Right.
Because it's not your reality.
Right.
Everybody got gifts. They just don't know you like God knows you.
Right. Come on. Come on.
God's got a plan for your life. So, there's golden words and there's grace words. Give you one more verse on that grace word, and then we go to our last one. Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. So they're pleasant. Gracious words are pleasant and they make you healthy. That's why I like it. But the last one, sometimes you give them a golden word, sometimes you give them a grace word, and lastly, you got to give God a word.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes it's God's word. Now, I'm going back one more time, illustration. That's one of the things I like about when y'all go to a movie together, everybody kind of knows what I'm talking about. Amen. When he overcomes, you remember, amen, that the principle gave Hannah God's word.
Right.
He said, go look at Ephesians 2.
Right.
You go study Ephesians 2.
Right.
And put down everything that Ephesians 2 says about you.
Yeah.
She gave God's word. Because ain't no word like God's word.
Amen.
And she went down and looked at God's word, found out who she was adopted, and she was chosen, and all the other, amen, that she was a child of God, and all the things that's in Ephesians 2. And God had a plan for her life, and that changed the whole identity. Because she didn't believe what God said about her. I want to tell you, you have to be careful what people say about you. Don't take what people say about you with a grain of salt.
That's real.
The truest thing about you is what God said is true.
Amen. Amen.
People can say different things.
That's right. And will say.
But what God says is true.
Yeah.
It's true. Let every man be a liar and God be true.
Amen.
So what God says is true is true. Sometimes you got to give people God's word. If they've had some losses, you got to say, hey, it seems like losses. Listen, if you're a believer, the Bible says you are more than a conqueror.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Uh-huh. You're not just a conqueror. You're not just a winner. But you're the kind of winner that wins in a blowout.
Right, right, right.
You don't win, look. You don't win by 2 or 3 points. When you win, the game ain't even close. Because God is on your... I know it seems like you're behind now, but you're going to win.
Amen. Yeah.
Because God said, you're going to win. They might be saying you're losing. Don't believe that. You're a winner because God said you're going to win. Now, you may lose a few battles on the way to the win. But remember, it's a 15-round fight.
Come on now.
You might lose a round here and there. But in the win, in the end,
yeah,
you're going to raise up hands of victory instead of a winner. Because God has already promised. And when God promises, he will deliver on his promise.
Amen.
And you look, if you look all around the verses in Romans 8 at the end, where it's talking about being more comfortable, it's talking about stuff that don't seem like you're comfortable. You've been persecuted. And people been killed. And wow. Don't seem like it's no comfortable. But if God says, even in the midst of all that that's going on, all that negativity, you're more than a comfortable. And you got to believe what God said. Sometimes there's some people in your classrooms, school, on your job, in your church, in your family. And you got to tell that person that God has promised that you're comfortable, you're going to win. You won't get past this thing. Because they done gave up on winning. And sometimes you look at athletics, you can tell when somebody gave up on winning.
That's real.
They forgot who they are. Mm-hmm. They'll start messing up in all kinds of ways because they begin to listen to the internal voice that's saying, you ain't got it no more. You ain't going to be able to pull this one out. You ain't going to be able to get it right tonight. And they begin to say, you're off tonight. And you begin to listen to that voice and you done told yourself, so you, what you do, you act it out.
Right.
Maybe sometimes your week is like that. Listen to what God says. God's word. And the greatest thing you tell us about God's word is what God says they can have eternal life.
Amen.
I remember the jailer. You know, the jailer was kind of shaken up, y'all. Y'all remember the jailer in Acts when Paul was living in jail and had an earthquake?
Uh-huh.
And shook the whole jail and all the doors of the jail fell open. And he thought all the prisoners had escaped. And he was just about to kill himself. If anybody needed life, if anybody needed somebody to speak life, and we live in a suicidal world, and people need you to speak life, he was just about to take his life, and then he's going to fall. Do yourself no harm, man. We're all still here.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when folk going to take their life, they ain't really looked at the whole situation. What happened, and then they have a permanent solution for a temporary problem.
Yeah.
Suicide is a permanent solution for a temporary problem. The problem might be over tomorrow, but if you commit suicide, you won't even get seen, and the problem won't be over tomorrow. It ain't gonna last forever. You won't make it through this, but if you don't stay around, you can't never see that. Man, he didn't have time. He didn't realize if he just went into the jailhouse, he'd have saw that everybody was still there. But if it wasn't for Paul and Silas telling him that he was about to kill himself, and everybody was still there.
Yeah.
Tomorrow might be the day you'll get that job.
Good. That's good.
Tomorrow might be the day you get that breakthrough, or maybe next week, or maybe, but it's on its way. You can't take yourself out before the turnaround is coming. Man, do yourself no harm. We're all still here. I'm here. Silas is still here. The prisoner service got so good, they didn't even want to leave.
Yeah.
You know what church is so good, the prisoner.
Yeah.
Get it over, man. I don't know. Let's get that next in. I want one more man. I ain't heard that like that since my mom used to. And they couldn't escape the prison, but they all still there.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Then he said, all right, sir, what must I do to be saved? He wasn't saying, being saved from an earthquake, because the earthquake is already over.
Right, right.
He wasn't saying, being saved from the penalty of moving out of prison, because all his prison was still there.
Yeah.
He said, sir, what must I do to be saved? And then Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Yeah.
But then when he finished that, boy, that would have been enough for me. That's why I could be saved. But then, not only will you be saved, but your whole family.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saved your
yeah.
I saved your whole household.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody's out there, and they're desperate. They're desperate for somebody to speak life. But you need to say, hey, you need to say, not only can God turn it around for you, God can turn it around for your whole.
Yeah.
He can turn it around. God is so great, he can turn it around for your whole family.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. He's the one that did this kind of God he is.
My God.
And then it says, hey, after he said this, man believed, whole man we got baptized, wife got baptized, Junior got baptized, Little Sue got baptized. Amen. And they probably didn't baptize the baby because he couldn't understand. Yeah, but soon as the baby could understand, we're going to baptize the baby too.
Right.
We're going to baptize the whole family going to get saved. Why? Because somebody spoke
God's word. Yeah.
I'm trying to say somebody on your job, somebody in your school, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody in your family. They're in the same place that that devil's in. And they're just waiting for somebody to speak life so you can't afford to be quiet. God didn't make you to be quiet. You got to speak life to that person before it's too late.
Amen.
God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All you got to do is accept. He didn't have the Son. Had life. He that has not son had not life. You have to speak life. Listen. Think about this every morning when you wake up. Or even your words. Man, you don't even think of my words. You think about your words. Say, Lord, you gave me life. And I know the words we speak show what we are on the inside. So, Lord, today, is there anybody that need a golden word? If there's anybody that need a grace word, if there's anybody that need God's word, show them to me.
Yeah.
And give me the word. Bring God's word back to my remembrance. Now you got to put it in your memories. If you ain't got none in your remembrance, you won't have another call on.
That's real.
But then do the best you can. Try to get your memory. I said, well, there's a verse somewhere. Do the best you can. You'll get close, or you heard it in church. But now, the next time, you'll be ready. Give them the God's word. Give them that golden word. Give them that grace word. They need life.
Amen.
They need somebody that's going to speak life. I'm glad we got y'all. Amen. Somebody, amen. I don't know. Somebody don't need that. Somebody, amen. Maybe on talking to Brother Favor on that CB thing. Y'all see that CB thing?
Yes, sir.
They might need to speak. You might need to speak life. I know they're coming out crazy, but you need to speak life. They might be speaking other languages. You need to speak life. Amen. When they see them riding this Bible trip.
That's real.
Well, you know, they no folk in the Bible trip. Yeah. Yeah. He need to be able to speak life. Oh Lord, you got to give me something. This right here, he might be on the age. Some people out there know him when he used to be under the tree. And they going to call you, and you got to be able to speak life to them.
Amen.
You got to be able to speak life. And some of you young people, it's people in your elementary school or in your high school or in your middle school, and you got to be able to speak life in him. Some of y'all that's retired, amen, But you got friends, and your friends that are retired too. And you know, retired, amen. You be at home retired, they be at home retired, and then they call you, tell you about the stories. When they call you, you need to be ready to speak loud. Don't get involved in that gospel. Yeah, let me tell you what happened. Hold on. Before you tell me what happened at church yesterday. Let me speak a word of life.
Yeah.
And you go ahead and share something positive, something great within what God is doing in your life. Let me tell you what I have to preach about. Let me tell you what I learned in Sunday school. This new person, I'm just so overjoyed. This new person got saved, they gonna get baptized. And I see this person in my church growing. Start, you give them so much good news that they forget about what. I forgot what I was gonna call you. Because you just gave them their good hands because they weren't expecting that.
Right.
And they forgot what, and when they call back again, when they say no, don't smell that phone. Because you know it. You know that it's the wrong way anyway. Amen. Don't worry, just pray for them. So whatever arena. So listen, you better check out saying that somebody will come through saved. I can understand. I understood in a warm water. They gonna come through a little dance, and you got to speak lies.
I've seen him do it.
You got to speak life to him.
Amen.
That's what we're about. We need to be a church that speaks life.
Amen.
Wait a minute. Spouses need to speak life to spouses.
Amen.
Ooh, but sometimes we speak the opposite.
Amen.
Speak life. I know we all got stuff. Amen. We all got broken. And we're then, but you got to be able to speak life. Ain't nothing that makes a marriage great than when you start speaking life to one another rather than death. You got to speak life to your children.
Right. Amen.
Now, it's going to be time we have to correct people that we love.
Right.
And you want to say truth to them, you want to speak the truth in love. When it comes to that time, it's good if you just spoke a whole lot of positive things. See, if the only time they hear from you is when something negative, every time they hear from you are hollering at them, or saying what they're doing wrong, or what they need to improve on, then they just gonna.
Amen.
It's just gonna be like Charlie Brown.
They
don't hear what you're saying. But if you always, if they know you're always encouraging. Always positive, always giving them good stuff. Then they know if the one time you bring something that's a correction, you say, hey, they love me. But they give me so much love all these other days. If they bring something to me that they kind of rough, it's really not because they want home, but they're trying to help. And I might need to listen to it. Don't just talk to your children when everything is wrong. Tell them all the great things you do.
Right.
And then they'll be willing to listen to you more than you tell them before. But they know they're coming from a place of love. My whole child. Speak life. So do you speak life? Be bilingual. Speak life. I think that's what he's trying to tell us. So all my young, you can be any age. And speaking. I've had little kids come up to me and just spoke my. I said, wow. You're the word I need here.
Yeah.
Look, sometimes little kids do better speaking life than old people. Because you know when a little kid speak life, they sincere.
Right, yeah.
Sometimes when an older person speak life, they got ulterior motives. They'll speak life, but they need a boy at 25. You don't want to wipe his. Wait a minute. You know the person. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Boy, you're going to do a good job. And then you know the other son. Now, they'll never. Can I borrow 25 from you? You don't have to butter me up if you want to borrow 25.
Yeah.
They say, Pat, I need 25. You got it? Nah, man, you don't have to lie to me. You know, that's the best sound you ever preach the one you preaching on. Woo! I just totally ran with the chain. I almost got saved and I already know I'm saved. Now, you don't have to say all this. There's a pastor running the show. He's with Gary
Money. Y'all keep real.
No, I have to lie to him. If I got it, I have to lie to him. Amen. Because I know you're lying. You wasn't even woke. All right. But damn, Pastor, so do that. Really, this is what I'm doing. Go this week. Intentionally, y'all know what I'm saying? Intentionally, on purpose, praise God that He will send you to those He needs a word that you need to speak life. Those that need the golden word, the grace word, God's word. That's why I'm going to be into this week.
Amen.
Show this person that needs to speak about it. So the musician's going to come now. Think about that. Pray about that.
Amen.
God, show me. I'm serious about that. Show me the word. Because God asked about it. He wouldn't have told me that. He wouldn't have had me preach this. If there wasn't going to come across some of your paths, people who need you to speak life to them. Come on, little counselors. Let's stand. Standing for you, with you. So you won't have to stand alone. Yeah.